Have you ever felt like your spiritual life was more about checking boxes than experiencing something real? You're not alone. While most religious paths offer techniques for better living, they often miss the heart of what we're truly seeking: genuine connection with God. Like tourists in an Italian mausoleum who catch only brief glimpses of magnificent ceiling mosaics when coins activate temporary lighting, many believers experience only fleeting moments of authentic faith. The true splendor, a life of communion with God, remains largely hidden, not because it's inaccessible, but because we're looking in the wrong places. What if everything you thought about your relationship with God needs reimagining? Most people treat faith as a cosmic insurance policy, a life under God approach, combining ritual and morality to win divine favor and avoid misfortune. This mindset was evident when Hindu eunuchs at my cousin's wedding in Mumbai demanded payment for blessings, threatening curses if underpaid. While modern religions have evolved beyond primitive ritualism, they often maintain this transactional view of faith. The irony is that this approach mirrors the original rebellion in Eden, attempting to control God through obedience, making him indebted to us. This mindset doesn't reduce fears, but transfers them from random chance to divine retribution. When morality becomes moralism, anxiety increases. Jesus himself criticized religious leaders who created elaborate requirements while neglecting core values like justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Newton's observation of a falling apple in 1666 sparked a scientific revolution that reframed the universe as a machine governed by principles rather than deities. This shifted how humans dealt with fear, from religious rituals to understanding natural laws. While atheism remains rare in America, deism is common, the belief that God created the universe but stays uninvolved in daily life. This mindset, captured in John Lennon's Imagine, envisions a world where principles, not religion, guide humanity. Yet paradoxically, even atheist organizations struggle with internal conflicts over ideology. This life over God approach has penetrated Christianity itself. Many treat the Bible as a manual of principles rather than a path to knowing God personally. This Christian deism reduces faith to formulas, where God's principles matter, but his presence becomes optional. Moses' story illustrates this tendency. When he struck the rock instead of speaking to it, his need for a guaranteed solution led him to trust in a formula rather than God's specific direction, costing him entry to the Promised Land. Similarly, church leaders' pursuit of guaranteed success through principles often reveal a fear-based desire for control. Professor Scott McKnight's classroom experiment reveals how students envision Jesus mirroring their own traits. Introverts see an introspective Jesus, extroverts an outgoing one. As Voltaire noted, "If God has made us in his image, we have returned him the favor." This life-from-God mentality reflects our consumer culture, viewing God as a divine butler serving our desires. Born from the Industrial Revolution's need to create demand for surplus goods, consumer culture bombards us with thousands of daily advertisements, fostering hedonic adaptation, an endless pursuit of the next satisfaction. Modern society has elevated consumption to near sacred status, placing individual desires at the center of everything, including spirituality. The parable of the prodigal son exemplifies this mindset, valuing the father's gifts above the father himself. Like the son who demanded his inheritance early, we often treat God as a cosmic vending machine, missing faith's primary purpose, relationship with the divine, rather than mere acquisition of benefits. Evangelical Christianity often emphasizes a life-for-God posture that makes mission central to everything. People are categorized based on their relationship to the mission, participants, objects, obstacles, or fat Christians who should be serving. Working with college students revealed the costs of this approach. Despite strong Christian backgrounds, many lacked genuine communion with Christ. They struggled to describe their experience of God, had shallow prayer lives, and viewed God more as a distant CEO than a personal presence. Most believed God was disappointed in their struggles with sin, evidence that their spiritual formation prioritized achievement over experiencing God's love. Missionalism, deriving worth from accomplishment, can consume everything from relationships to spiritual depth. As VeggieTales creator Phil Vischer learned after losing his company, "I had grown up drinking a dangerous cocktail, a mix of the gospel, Protestant work ethic, and American dream. My eternal value was rooted in what I could accomplish." The risk is making God's mission itself an idol, placing service above relationship with God. Even Paul, despite his missionary zeal, valued knowing Christ above all his work, counting everything else as loss compared to this relationship. Jesus Christ, God with us, reveals an approach beyond fear and control. Like Tolkien's Eucatastrophe, an unexpected joy, Jesus illuminates what was previously hidden. His coming reveals that the universe's core is not divine will or global mission, but God existing in eternal relationship with Himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in perfect communion. This relational trinity forms the foundation of the with God posture. Unlike the other postures that seek to use God, life with God is different because God Himself is the goal. Like the merchant who found a pearl of great value, those who glimpse God's true nature will give everything to possess Him. Henri Nouwen learned from trapeze artists that the catcher, not the flyer, is key. "I can only fly freely when I know there is a catcher to catch me." Faith is surrendering control, not seeking it. We overcome fear by trusting our Heavenly Father will catch us. Martin Luther King Jr. experienced this transformation. Facing death threats at his kitchen table, he heard Jesus' voice in prayer. "Stand up for righteousness, justice, and truth, and lo, I will be with you, even until the end of the world." His fear vanished as he felt God truly with him. We begin our spiritual journey marked by fear, encountering four common identity postures: sinner, life under God; manager, life over God; consumer, life from God; and servant, life for God. While each contains truth, none fully captures who we are. These limited identities stem from our incomplete vision of God. As Paul wrote, "For now we see in a mirror dimly." We understand ourselves through imperfect reflections, yet our true identity remains hidden until we see God face to face. Jesus promised his followers a white stone with a new name written on the stone that no one knows except the one who receives it. This name represents our true essence, known only to us and God. Our authentic selves emerge not through living under, over, from, or for God, but when we are fully with God. As Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote while awaiting execution, "Who am I? They mock me, these lonely questions of mine. Whoever I am, you know, O God, I am yours." This captures the essence of the with God posture, finding our identity not in our actions, but in belonging to our Creator.